You notice something about our Father God? He always does something supernatural. When it's something He promised, they have been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. That is why Peter declared that in Acts 2, signs in heavens above and signs on the earth below. So you can expect, if David and Solomon saw fire come down, we may not see exactly the same way because we are in different covenant, but there will be something tangible. Tangible. Very tangible. When that prophecy of Acts 2 is fulfilled in its fullness. And we are near those days as Solomon fulfilled it. And as we look on at the other four revivals that took place, Solomon's was the main revival. We want to take note of the principles of revival. And we have to have tools to examine this book. When we want to examine something, we have to have proper tools. And so we have to use tools from the book of Acts. A revival can come forth because of different things. Number one, a revival can come forth through intensive prayer. You find that in the book of Acts chapter 4. That when persecution arose through the ministry of the word and the signs and wonders and through multitudes coming to know the Lord from the time of Acts 2, the early church in Acts 4 gathered together and they prayed to God. And the Bible says that the house that they prayed shook. And God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And great multitudes were added to the church. So, prayer is one of the tools that bring forth a move of God. Number two, in Acts chapter 6, when the church was heading into a crisis because of their structural form, the apostles were finding they lacked time to spend on the word and prayer while ministering to the widows, and there was a grumbling that took place. They had a structural change, and they appointed 7 new deacons. And you notice from that time forward, there were also 5-fold ministries that arose. You find in Acts 11 that groups of prophets go from Jerusalem to other places. Among those teams were those led by Agabus, the prophet. And what took place was the second type of thing that can cause a revival. And that is the rise of the 5-fold offices and ministry. The rise of ministries in the church. Now that include those who are not called to the 5-fold too. That include all the other gifts that God promised in Romans chapter 12. The 5-fold ministries and the 9 ministries of believers and the function of the church as each believer find their gift and their function, that can cause what I call the second type of revival. And you notice in Acts chapter 6, after the 7 deacons were appointed, it says, and the church multiplied and grew. There was another phase of revival. And that phase was also experienced in Acts 13, in verse 1 and 2, when Paul and Barnabas and a few other leaders were praying, the Holy Spirit said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work which I called them. And you notice, through the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, the entire Asian region of those days in Asia Minor received the word of God and revival broke forth. So again, it's tied to the second key. When ministries of different types, both full-time and those in the secular area that are called by God, when they arise to find their place, revival takes place. What you saw of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship revival led by Demo Shakarian was also a revival that came forth, a charismatic move, through ministries finding their place. If you read Demo Shakarian's biography called The Happiest People on Earth, you find that he was asking God, God, what do you call me to do? And just God told him that he was in the ministry of helps. What a powerful ministry he became. That caused a worldwide movement of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Movement. There is a move of God. Same with the rise of the fivefold ministries in the 1950s, and that is coming forth in Asia today. There is a second type of revival. You must understand there are different types of revival in the book of Acts. There's a revival that can come through prayer. The revival in Korea you find is primarily a prayer revival. You suddenly see fivefold ministries, Koreans coming forth all over the world. You see missionaries starting churches in the same style, but not the kind that comes forth from America. It's a different type of revival. You have to understand. So there is a revival of prayer, there's a revival of ministries. Then the third is a revival of praise and worship. You notice in the book of Acts, it records all these incidents, although it's not classified together. In the book of Acts chapter 16, when Paul was in the Philippian jail with Silas, it says at midnight, they were praising God. And as they were praising God, a tremendous earthquake came. But it was no ordinary earthquake. It was the shaking of God. And their chains fell off. And the Philippian jailer was converted. That was a great move of God. And it came through worship. So worship brings a different type of revival. Whenever you have strong worship, it brings for a certain type of revival. Understand that there are different types of revival. People think revival is just revival. Many types. Now, when people say revival, you say, which type? We want all types. The fourth type of revival is found in the book of Acts 19. And the statement made is this. And the word of God prevailed, grew mightily and prevail. Acts 19, where Paul rented the school of Tyrannus, and he started with just a handful of disciples, and through his ministry of 3 years in Ephesus, 2 of those years in the school of Tyrannus in Acts 19, where he ministered the word of God daily, it was a different revival. It was a revival of the word of God. But that was powerful too. Now, each revival can do the same work, but each revival has a different emphasis altogether. Different emphasis altogether. When you have a prayer revival, you usually produce signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Now, I know the Acts 19 revival got these special signs too. Right? But I believe it's because Paul combined it with prayer too. I'm talking about primarily all the four revivals produce the same thing, but they have a certain strength. Signs and wonders. And when people go deep in prayer, they begin to hit the supernatural. There's a signs and wonders realm. Most of the 1950s ministers I spoke to, some of them still alive, all of them, right? 1950s, right? And most of them are old. And I met some of them, and their key emphasis was prayer. I mean, they spent 8 hours in prayer. Some of them are still around today. Paul King is around. He's a 1950s guy, right? Brought forward to our new generation here. And you notice he still follows the same style. He's not like modern ministers. He hides in his room all the time. Comes out to the stage and then goes back to his room. Doesn't go shopping, doesn't go sightseeing. Very different from modern ministers today. I know because we have hosted, you know, some of these modern ones. See, they are slightly different. And so that's the prayer. It brings forth signs and wonders. The revival of ministries produce churches. Strong churches. See, each revival produced different things. And surprisingly, the revival of worship produces strong deliverance. Deliverance from bondages. It produces liberty. See, worship is tied to liberty. That's why David understood it and he said that God, you surround me with songs of deliverance. Worship produces deliverance, liberty. Stand up together. That is why we're going to see. Why are we using these tools? Because later on when we look at 2 Chronicles, and you study the four revivals, you can classify what time. See, you need these tools to get back into that book. Then the word revival that we see, the word revival produces what we call strong Christians, and produces more, it sort of multiplies, produces more ministries. Although there's a record in Acts 19 about the deliverance case and how the seven sons of Sceva tried to do the same thing, and there were special signs and wonders, but the word revival produces new ministers. That is why in the 1950s, when those 1950s people die, they don't have a generation that follow, and a lot of people cannot move into what they move in. But if you have a teaching and a word revival, what that person can do, the next generation also can do. See, the word revival produces ministries, and then the ministries will produce the other revival, the revival of ministries. Then that builds it up together and produces, it filters back into the believers. So having seen these four different types of revival in the book of Acts, we go back to analyze some of these revivals. You will notice that Solomon, if you analyze, he had a certain amount of prayer, but not that much. He himself prayed to God in his early days, and God blessed him with wisdom. And then he prayed to God when he dedicated the temple. God answered with fire. But later in his life, he neglected prayer. So the prayer is not that the strongest. And then there was also a worship revival. He organized the worship, and you read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. When they were worshipping God with one accord, and the 120 trumpeters were as one, the glory of God filled the whole place. So there was also praise and worship. And then there was also the ministries, but not that strong. You know, Solomon was the main one, and the prophets and the priests were all in the background. So primarily in Solomon's time, you have a measure of the prayer revival, a measure of the worship revival, and a measure of the ministries revival, but you do not have the word revival. That was why Solomon didn't last long. He, as we saw in his life in our earlier study of Chronicles, that Solomon failed God in all the commandments given to what a king should do. He himself didn't keep the word. Now, as we analyze the four other types of revival, we're going to see how that each revival is slightly different. And we move down to King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat, we're only considering the good, powerful kings who brought forth revival. Esa was one, but Esa's revival and Jehoshaphat's revival are about one. Esa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 1. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. Now, what type of revival did Jehoshaphat bring forth? You see in verse 8 and 9. Chapter, we are now in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 8 and 9. And with them he sent Levites, Shemaiah, Netaniah, Zebediah, Asahel, and Shemaremoth, Jehonadan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, the Levites. What a name. We all who are in Asia read it, we look very difficult. Wait till somebody read our Asian names. It's as difficult for them. And the Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram the priest. And verse 9, so they taught in Judah and had the book of the law with them. They went through all the cities of Judah and taught the people. So we see they had a word revival, a revival of the word of the Acts 19 type. And in a time of crisis, we see in Second Chronicles chapter 20, they had a worship revival. A worship revival. And that is in Second Chronicles chapter 20, when Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir all surrounded Judah, where in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that Jehoshaphat turned to the Lord in prayer. So he has a small measure of prayer revival, but that was not his main one, like Solomon just a little bit at the beginning. But primarily, they had a worship revival. And they sent the choir ahead of the army, and in verse 20,